Looking for something to do this summer? Come out to Dance Sport BC's Summer Dance Series. Starting June 24th to September 2nd, there will be free lessons, shows, and social dancing from 7:30 to 11:30 p.m. every Friday under the domes at Robson Square. Everyone is welcome. No partner experience is required. There will be lessons for beginners and shows put on by dance professionals and local dance schools. For more information, visit their website at dancesportbc.com.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave.
Where's the Daves?
I like your shave.
I'm Dave Medanik.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR.
And these are the days of our lives. It's Friday the 5th, there I am. It's Friday the 5th of August, 2016, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios, underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Oakset, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today,
LGBTQ.
The 28th Vancouver Queer Film Festival gets underway next week, and we will have artistic director Shayna Maiera on the phone to tell us all about it. And we have a visit from the cast of Fame the Musical that opens up at the Fire Hall next week. Plus, I'll do yet another shameless plug for the shows I'm doing at Jericho and Call Board and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. And we're going to start off with some music here. One of Vancouver's favorite party bands is on tour throughout the province right now. Five Alarm Funk is going to be performing this weekend at the Shambhala Music Festival in Salmo. They're also playing a gig at the Inferni tomorrow night, and then they'll be in Dunster at the Robson Valley Music Festival next weekend. It's Five Alarm Funk.
Payday.
All right, once again, that's Five Alarm Funk, and they are playing in Salmo this weekend and at the, I lost the other one, but they'll be playing a couple of festivals over the next couple of weeks, so get out there and check them out. Right now, on the phone, we have Shanna Miera. Hi, Shanna.
Dave.
There we are. I got to turn you on. You got to turn your button on first. Okay, there you are now.
Hi, Dave.
And you're the artistic director of the Queer Film Festival.
That's true.
Correct. Okay, I got that one right. And that's...
and you pronounce my name very well.
Well, thank you, finally, after about 12 tries. So, the Queer Film Festival, it's been going on since, like, Expo or recent or something like
one
that.
One of those big major things.
Yeah.
It's been going on since 88.
All right.
It really started in some West End living rooms. A bunch of people wanted to have something that was like the cultural... sideline that they had seen happen in LA around the same time to go along with the Cultural Olympiad. So they brought something like a little tiny queer film festival to the city in 88, and it was all volunteer run. And since then, we've just grown and grown to the second largest film festival in the city, bringing about 13,000 people to our event each year. And we're also the largest queer arts event in Western Canada. So
my goodness.
It really started because of some...
That's huge.
Activists in the West End. Yeah.
Usually those things do, don't they?
I know,
exactly. Those crazy West
Jane
End
Jacob
activists.
Quote, right.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what we can see this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, we start off with a really beautiful French film called Summertime by a really impressive director named Catherine Corsini, whose work is always extremely lush and thoughtful. And this one is her tribute to a love story that takes place in the 70s in rural France and also in Paris. And it's two women that meet kind of at the beginning of a real feminist movement in Paris. And but they're torn between what their lives could look like in the city versus one of them feeling the need to be back home on the farm with her family and kind of fulfilling the life that they sort of had planned for her. It was quite a beautiful, thoughtful film and a really beautiful start to our festival as well, because it kind of starts off with looking back and then the rest of the festival takes us forward with, moving forward in time, moving forward with the issues.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a new film, but it's set in the 1970s. Is that sort of the looking back
mm-hmm.
part? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what are some of the things that are looking to the future then?
Ooh, good one. Well, there's some really interesting work that's coming out of the States. There's a new film called Retake, which is a really inventive take on memory by some new American producers. And they wanted to tell a story about someone's grief, essentially, but how he can't really accept that loss. Mm-hmm. So he hires someone to go on a road trip with him to kind of recreate what life would have looked like if he hadn't lost his lover. And that's a contemporary tale that is, it's quite timeless because I think we've all been in those moments where we can't quite face what reality has in store for us right now. So mm-hmm. we try to pretend our way through. And it's contemporary and kind of looking forward in the way it talks about sex work, in the way that it talks about the kind of the blurred lines between love and sex work and memory and grief. Mm-hmm. There's also a really charming film out of Korea called Weekends, which is all about how choir and community can really uplift the spirits of people who are just looking for the kind of social glue that we so often need in big cities.
Mm-hmm.
So Weekends is the story of this choir that meets every weekend, and they don't claim to be the best choir. They have no aspirations to be the best. Really, it's about something very different. It's just about finding one another. And for them in Seoul, they find that this Weekends choir is their gay community center, basically. And quite a lovely tale for that reason. And you know, sometimes you forget you're watching a documentary because some of the scripted dance sequences and the humor in it makes it feel like you're watching something that's been scripted, but it's actually just the delight factor is pretty high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's this, it sounds like there's a whole range of experiences and stories and styles of film as well. You know,
well, we have over 70 films, mm-hmm. so we try and curate it so that there's a little bit of something for everyone. And we've categorized the films in spotlight programs this year. So, you know, if you're looking for something that's more activist in nature, there's a whole stream called Catalysts. Mm-hmm. We have a stream that we're loosely calling Date Nights, which are kind of more the steamy films, maybe like a first or second date kind of film to bring, to kick off a new romance or maybe meet someone at the festival. And then there's some more experimental stuff under a stream called Curiouser. So lots to choose from, and really the best way to get a sense of what's in store is to just go to the website and peruse the program or pick up a program guide.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the website now. In fact, I'm looking at your staff page, and I got to say, the bright, smiley, shining faces that are looking at me from that page make me want to be a part of your team.
We have a great team.
I want to work with these people. They look like they're just having so much fun. So that's
a great place to start.
Crew. Yeah.
Oh, we have such a wonderful staff team, and we do try and have a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. Where right now we might be have a tiny bit less of a spring in our ship because we're tired and we're leading up to a big production cycle. But we'll be back with big smiles on our faces for opening night.
Aside from the films, you've got some other events too. You've got workshops.
We have workshops.
Yeah, and big parties.
We have we always have free workshops to help emerging artists with their professional development. So there's a really exciting one this year called Pitch Your Project to OutTV. So we're working closely with OutTV, and they're going to come. And the first part of the workshop will be kind of explaining to people how they acquire new projects. And sometimes what they do is they'll acquire your project just based on the concept, and they'll give you development funding to make it happen. And sometimes you can go to them and say, look, I already have this beautiful thing that's already made, a short film or a feature or something made for TV. And then they can license it and show it. So they'll give a little bit of that background. And then it devolves into a one-to-one pitch session. So, not as much of a trial by fire as some of these sessions are, where you pitch publicly in front of the whole room, but kind of a speed dating format where you can go around to each of the producers and the COO, Brad Danks, will be there, and pitch your project or take a moment to have a one-to-one and ask any questions you want answered, maybe on a more personal level. And then we hope to see a project come out of it. So,
and if nothing else, you get a chance to practice your pitch. Because that's the big thing, is just getting it down to a nice digestible shape and size so that you can get your message out as easily as possible. And
yeah, exactly. The more practice you get, the better. Your passion projects.
Yeah.
So that's just a skill to always try and benefit the elevator pitch, the 60-second pitch, whatever
exactly,
it is.
Yeah.
So, another great workshop that's being led by Creative BC. And that's an opportunity for artists and producers to come and see how Creative BC can help your project come to life. There's all sorts of avenues that maybe people don't know about.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, we just lost our station manager to Creative BC. She's going to head up the music department there.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Brenda Grunau. So shout out to her. The festival is taking place at, it looks like, 9 different venues around the city.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I mean, our main venues are International Village Cinema, SFU Gold Corp Center for the Arts, and the Rio Theater and the Van City Theater.
Yeah.
And of course, we open and we have all of our galas at the Vancouver Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And we kick everything off on August 11th at the Playhouse, and then we're having our big open air party right afterwards at the Queen Elizabeth Plaza.
Oh, just around the corner. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so people want to know more. The website is queerfilmfestival.ca. And there's these lovely yellow pamphlets that I've seen all over town. And it's got all the titles on it and more information on how to get tickets and that kind of thing. So
And tickets are available right on the website at queerfilmfestival.ca.
Yeah.
And everyone's welcome.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for taking time to tell us about it. And I hope you have another roaring success.
Wonderful. Thanks so
much,
Dave.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Kate.
Okay. We're going to keep moving on now. We've got some guests in the studio who are just itching to tell us about their show, and we'll talk about that right after we hear. We're going to talk about musical theater, and So I'm going to lead into it with a song by one of my favorite musical theater performers, Alison MacDonald, who has released a CD of her favorite songs from the 50s and 60s. And this one is called Will You Love Me Tomorrow?
Tonight you're mine completely. You give your love so sweetly. Tonight the light of love is in your eyes. But will you love me tomorrow? Is this a lasting treasure or just a moment's pleasure? Can I believe the magic of your sighs? Will you still love me tomorrow? Tonight with words unspoken, you said that I'm the only one. But will my heart be broken when the night meets the morning sun? I'd like to know if your love is love I can. When the night meets the morning sun, I'd like to know if your love is love I can be sure of. So tell me now, and I won't ask again. Will you still love me tomorrow? Will you still love me tomorrow? Will you still love me tomorrow?
I love that song. So joining us now, by the way, that was Alison MacDonald and Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow. You're listening to Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio, CITR 101.9 FM. There, we got that out of the way. Now, sitting across from me is Sharon Crandall. Say hello, Sharon.
Hello, hello.
And Lalenia Lindberg Strelau.
Impressive. Hello.
I've been practicing that one. Hi. Yeah. Finally, we get to meet. Mm-hmm. You and I have been ships passing in the night for years. In fact, we even shared a dressing room once.
What?
In Malkin Bowl.
Oh, wait,
Five years ago, I was in Anything Goes, and you were in Bye Bye Birdie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. We were in the same. Did I leave you a note ever?
I don't think so.
Sometimes
I don't even think
that.
You knew I was even
there. Oh, I'm so sorry.
And we almost had you here.
Yeah.
On the Mountain.
And
I think you were a little under the weather that morning.
I lost my voice before opening night. Yeah, that was devastating.
That was a fun time. You missed it. Gord Roberts taught me how to play the spoons.
Oh, my gosh. That was such an amazingly fun show to do. It was my first show back in 4 years, actually. I took 4 years off just to be with my kids and raise my kids. And I got asked to do it. Literally, they had already started rehearsal, and they had lost one of their lead actors. So I hadn't been, really singing for 4 years. And then I get this call from Gord Roberts.
Yeah.
LaLaina, it's Gordon Roberts, And they're like, I'm like, well, I'll talk to my husband about it. And I'm like, when do you start? He's like, well, we've already started. Our next rehearsal is Sunday. And this was Friday. And so, boom, I was like in it and memorizing lines. And there was 28 tunes in the song, in the show. It was, it was crazy, but it was really fun. We got to play so many fun instruments. I got to play the auto harp.
Oh, wow.
Which
that's right, yeah.
Was so cool and so scary at the same time. I just kept looking down. Okay, which
chord
is it? How
hard could it be? All the buttons are labeled.
They are, but there's so many. There's 500 buttons, and you have to find the one button that you need. And the worst is that it's a full chord.
Yeah.
So if you happen to press the wrong button, you're not just a little bit wrong. You are completely out in left field. Yeah, it was very, very scary.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. No. First show back, playing 28 tunes, play four instruments you've never played in your entire life. And but it was fun.
Yeah,
it was a great show.
It was a fun show. But this one's a fun show too.
Mm-hmm.
It's Fame the Musical.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the original movie.
Yes.
And then it was a TV series in the 80s. And then they remade the movie again.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like a Broadway musical.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time it's being done in Vancouver?
First time,
yeah.
It actually really surprised me when it actually was brought to me. The producing team brought it to me and said, hey, what about this? And their big thing was it's never been done. Like Fame, and the whole nostalgic element to it, I think, is so cool.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to reach out, one, to the older generation that remembers it.
Yeah.
And two, I mean, I would say probably the number one thing that people say to me is, I want to bring my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Fame, and it's funny because if the musical was like the movie, I would say probably not appropriate.
Yeah.
Because it's a very dark movie, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And his point to the movie was completely different than the series. His point to the movie was to show the destruction in actually seeking out wanting to be famous.
Yeah.
But
especially
the TV
at that age.
Exactly.
If you're not familiar with it, it's the high school for performing arts in New York City, which at the time in the late 70s was like unique to the world almost to have a
absolutely
high school just dedicated to the performing arts.
And it was free. It wasn't a private school. They auditioned, and if they got in, they were one of 93 kids out of, at that time, over 3,000 kids that auditioned. And then got literally professional training for 4 years of their lives. But, it's a very precious age as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going through a lot. So the TV series kind of took more the musical theater element on, started celebrating more like the music and the dance. And, they still had really quirky storylines. It jumped the shark around year three.
Mm-hmm.
First 2 years were much better. but it was very different. And I would say the musical is a lot closer to that genre, although I really wanted to explore the characters because I don't know. I'm kind of like that literal musical theaterist. I feel like if you're not telling real stories, even in a musical, it's just not compelling.
Mm-hmm.
So we've definitely worked just on, making sure that people are real.
Yeah.
And, I can sing a big tune. And I honestly have never, ever heard a room full of these caliber singers.
So how do you achieve that storytelling aspect of it?
Just a lot of talk about character yeah. and interactions. And right from the beginning, I just said, sorry, like, guys, we're creating a high school. You know, this isn't just going to be, okay, brrr, you know, change of scene. Like, I want stuff going on all the time. Mm-hmm. There's always many different stories going on. There's one that's happening in front of the lights, but there's a zillion happening behind the lights, you know? So right. we've got lots of...
So every act, everybody on stage has to be very clear about their intentions and exactly. their objectives and, you know, what they want and how they're going to get it.
Yeah, I don't always do this, but I require
all that acting school stuff.
Yeah, Lainia, on the first rehearsal we had, she came prepared with a booklet for us to read on all the research that she's done. Mm-hmm. And at the back of the booklet are questionnaires as to what your character is to be, what their home life is like, what their timetable is like on a daily basis at school, who your friends are, what your friends are like, what do you guys do outside of school, do you love what you're doing, all of these questions. And it's great because, you know, as maybe a new actor, you don't necessarily think about that, but mm-hmm. having that right in front of you on day one, it kind of sets a precedent, you know, it kind of sets the stage as to what it is that you're required to do.
Yeah, and it gives you more to think about when it's not your turn.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
exactly.
So the audience sees you're still engaged.
Yeah, it gives you business and you don't
it's
have to think
It's one of my biggest pet peeves.
Yeah.
I have to admit, like, to having, I don't care if you are ensemble, like, if you don't have a full character and you are not interesting, like, then don't be there. Like,
yeah.
I don't want bodies, you know, I want interesting characters and... Mm. Yeah, it's you know, not everybody loves that aspect of research. Sharon loves the research too. So I was lucky in that sense. Yeah. But it really, we had a very short rehearsal timeline. So it had to be, I just came in, I'm like, I'm sorry, guys, I don't normally attack it this intensely. But, you know, literally we had, well, I was short 25 hours when I did my schedule to put the show together. Yeah, I was like,
That's
where am I going to get these 25?
Yeah.
So I just said, we're going in strong, and I need you to answer these, and I need you to be clear. And honestly, like, I've never worked with a cast that has been so early and so, you know, I see them working everywhere, you know, outside the window.
We come very often 2 hours before call time just to run things outside on the lawn
on
Granville Island.
That is dedication.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, but I think it's also the intensity of our timeline. It's very short, and it is like a professional show. It is a co-op, so a lot of the people are professionals.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you've got quite a list of names of people that are involved in this show.
Fantastic local performers. You know,
including Sharon.
Thank you.
Sharon, we haven't met before, so I don't know very much about who are you, what's your background, where did you come from?
Where did I come from?
What's your story?
I've been in the musical theater kind of scene for the last, oh gosh, quite some time, since 97, I want to say. Have done, you know, Tuts many, many years.
Yeah.
Met Lalania, I think, when we did Footlight Theater in Burnaby. Mm-hmm. Way back when, before kids and all of life happened.
I think I had my first, but...
There you go.
Yeah, Sharon didn't have
any yet. Not yet. But I went to UBC. I went to University of UBC and was involved with MUSOC for a number of years. I don't know if they're still...
Yeah, oh yeah, they're still going strong, yeah.
There you go. I think I was president for 1 year.
I think.
It was all blurry, those 4 years that I was
there was
here.
A time when everybody came to me for everything.
Yeah. Not sure what my role was, but they just kept
coming. Somebody thought I was in charge.
Yeah. And then just recently, I just did In the Heights with the Arts Club. That was my first Arts Club show.
Oh, yeah.
So that was great. Yeah. So I've been around.
Okay.
I haven't done stage actually in the last year or so. I've been
heading into the film world.
Heading into the film and TV world.
Where the money is.
Right? I got an agent. No,
that's right. Good. So what's your role in Fame? Who are you playing?
I play Miss Bell. Uh-huh. She's the dance teacher.
Uh-huh.
She's quite the strict dance teacher. I didn't grow up as a dancer.
Yeah.
So I was not aware of how intense it was until when we were in rehearsal. There's this one particular scene. Every time, and we've done it a few times now, and I haven't told Elena this, but every time I do it, I get so shaky because this character is so intense and so strict and so, you know, to the point. In terms that she doesn't really care who she says it to, but she says it just as it is.
Right.
You know, she's telling.
So you based your character on Lalania.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I am so nasty.
She really is.
I just tell it like it is. No, so, if anything, some of the people are like, you know, you can be a little more mean. You can tell them to shut up. Yeah, I'm not your babysitter.
Well, who else have you got in the cast? Like, I mean, we talked about some of the veterans, like Chris Adams and Hal Rogers and Jennifer Serratos and some of those people. But I want to know about, like, who are the kids? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's funny because it's such a mix, I would say, of people who are professionals because they've got, you know, Equity written beside their name and, like, budding professionals.
Yeah.
You know, people who really... I find Vancouver is like that now. You've got such a high caliber of talent. There's people that literally, if you can get them just before they become professional,
you know,
and it becomes just sort of a bouncing board. And I just feel like our cast is kind of full of those type of people, mm-hmm. you know, people just kind of on the cusp. We do have some real teenagers, which is great. Yeah, and I will often refer to them in rehearsal.
We watch them like a hawk.
Yeah, teenagers, right? It's different. You know, I would say we have three or four actual teenagers, 16, 17-year-olds, you know, and then the rest of the cast, I would say, is young, between 19 and maybe 23.
Yeah.
There's a few older ones, but they look very young, so it's okay. But yeah, it's honestly the talent in there, I think because of the mix of professional and, you know, budding professionals, there's a certain standard that's set. And I always find that really exciting because it never seems to happen that, you know, you can have professionals and then unprofessionals and the unprofessionals set the standard.
Yeah.
What happens is the professionals step in. And people who aren't quite there yet watch, and you just watch them rise, basically to become complete equals with those who have been around a little bit longer and are more seasoned. And it's so exciting, you know, to watch. And this show really, like, even in our audition post, we were like, listen, if you're not a triple threat, most likely we won't be able to use you because literally you have to dance, you have to sing, and you've got to be a great actor to cover this type of material, you know? So it was intense. The auditions were intense.
Well, forget triple threats. I think a whole bunch of them are quadruple threats because they've got dancing and acting and singing and they play instruments, multiple, some of them. And
we've got four of our cast members who bring out their instruments as well several times. Eric Gao actually decided to perfect the violin.
Oh, yeah.
He plays the violin.
Because his character,
the piano,
plays violin. I said, well, we could change it to piano. He's like, nope, I've got my electric violin. And, it's, you know, I'm just like, wow, you know, the amount of just, I guess, enthusiasm, you know, was very encouraging. And, just the amount people want to be directed and learn and get notes. And, you know, there's always people coming after. It's really refreshing for me to be my first show back in 4 years because, you know, my last gig I did for about 10 years with Footlight Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all non-professional, except for in the last couple years, I begged for an Equity member because I, like I said, that bar being set, I find really made a big difference. And
if you get the right person in on the guest artist contract, like you said, they can really lead and lead by example and really show the amateurs in the cast what it means to be a professional.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the standard for even conduct, I think, is huge because a lot of people in amateur theater, of course, they want to go and have fun. Absolutely. But a lot of these people aren't there for fun. They want to have a career in this. And so I find just, you know, having a few people in there to set the bar and say, listen, this is sort of the type of life that it is, you know, and are you kind of ready for that? This is where fame comes. This is where you start paying and sweat. Oh.
That's right.
Oh, look, Debbie Allen just walked in.
Oh, yeah. She's my new idol now. She's just amazing. But, I mean, I met Sharon through Footlight as well. So it's kind of a classic example. I think Sharon had followed another path for a while, but there was, I mean, none of us ever had any doubt that, you know, she could go professional if she wanted to, you know. And those were the kind of people I would find come through the amateur circle, dabbling in it in a little bit. And maybe, you know, Sharon said to me at one point, maybe it wasn't encouraged as a child, or you weren't support, maybe it wasn't, you know, an option for a career in the family that you're raised in. And so you follow another path for a period of time. And then, you know, you kind of find your way again. And that's what I love about semi-professional productions. I find you get the expertise, but you get the enthusiasm of people who aren't there yet, or people who literally are doing it just because they love it.
Yeah.
And when I went from only doing professional theater back to semi-professional theater, I was like, oh, I found it again.
You found love again.
Yeah, I found it again, you know, because when I was only in professional, it was just a job. Yeah. And I never, I was that person. I never thought it would be that, ever. It was my passion. I loved it. Mm-hmm. And then it became my job, and it was kind of sad. Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel the same way about what I'm doing. I started here in the 80s. I went on and got involved in commercial radio and in public radio at the CBC, and both places just, it was a job. It didn't do it for me. And then when I came back to doing what I want, it just, it's just grown and flourished, and it's my, you know, much happier person for doing it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you know, you really have to find the place that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of place, Fame the Musical is at the Fire Hall Arts Center.
Yes, it is.
And opening
night
is...
That's one of our characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's an important character.
I insisted when we were, when I was asked to do it, I'm like, Fire Hall's the place. If we want to do this show, we have to do it at the Fire Hall.
Yeah.
Because half of our battle is done right when the audience has walked in the neighborhood and walked up to the door.
Yeah.
You know, talk about ambiance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's quite interesting. I was actually just in New York a few weeks ago, and totally by chance, I stayed in a hotel right next door to the Fame High School.
Oh, really?
Which is now the Jackie O International School.
Oh, really?
And my husband and I were just walking out of the hotel one day, and I'm like, wait a second. And there was a plaque right next to the door. It says, this was the high school where Fame was based of. I kid you not. So I had to take a picture in front of them.
I know.
And it's totally the Fire Hall.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's that red brick facade and... even the neighborhood, it's very, very cool that we're doing it at the Fire Hall.
Yeah, it was a huge character that was much needed.
Absolutely.
So how do we get tickets?
On the Fire Hall website.
Yeah.
Or you can also go to our co-op company, which is bringontomorrowco.com.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of information about the cast.
Yeah.
Some great photos. We had a local photographer, Rochelle Photography, come out and do our promo shots, and they're unbelievable.
That was super fun.
Yeah, there's jumping shots, the city in the background. We really wanted to highlight that we're a Vancouver company and that we celebrate our city as well, and the people we have in our city. And so we kind of highlighted that as well. So yeah, go to the website because it's fun, and there's a giant red button there that says buy tickets.
Okay.
Or you can get on the Fire Hall website as well. Yeah. And you can call always too.
Yeah, and we'll link it on our Facebook page too.
Great.
So it'll all be there.
Perfect.
Well, Sharon Crandall, Lelania Lindberg, Strelo, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
And spending some time and telling us all about the show.
Star-crossed lovers.
Yes.
We've never met.
Yes.
Finally.
Two ships passing. Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah, 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 blah.
Explosion.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar, the human serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Hey there.
This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham. Music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit citr.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
I think the news midweek, when the midweek news broke that Teo Dezar wasn't going to be playing in this game.
Growing sport, and to do it on a university campus with an educational message behind it.
They'll be facing off against all the big teams from all the other conferences and the nationals.
Want to be a CITR sports broadcaster? Looking for a cool way to get involved in UBC sports? Then email sports101@citr.ca or come by our station in the Nest to find out more. See you soon.
So I've been, one of the cool things about doing this show is people are always emailing me and telling me about music and bands and play my record and all that kind of stuff. And one of our dear friends is Erica, who used to be with the Hip Type a long time ago. And Tracy, who was the lead singer of the Hip Type, now has a new band called Pill Squad. And so Erica sent me a track from them. And this is it. It's called Antimony.
So you know that our band is fully funded by Big Pharma. And every time we play, we have a separate pill funding us, right? Like tonight it's Gravol. That's boring. Last time it was Viagra. That was a little bit better. But anyways, that's the thing. But tonight we have the new Pharmacy Seekers, the Drugstore Cowboys. They're going to sing for us. And I'm going to try and sing along, but like, really, now that I've taken all that Gravol, because it's our pill of the night, I'm a little tired.
Tim is the best.
Okay, that's Pill Squad. Check them out. They're, you can usually see them at the Wise Hall or Lanaloo's or one of them places. You know, they're pretty cool. Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions, calls for crews, musicians, other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to all genders, ethnicities, ages, and backgrounds. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. The Push Festival is looking for teenagers. A show called Concord Floral, which is written by Governor General Award-winning playwright and Club Push Curator-in-Residence Jordan Tannehill, is looking for 16 to 19-year-olds. No performing arts training or experience necessary. This is a unique opportunity for youth to gain professional performing arts experience. The auditions are happening in September. The performance itself is going to be in January or February, whenever the Push Festival is happening, beginning of the year. It's a great, unique opportunity. They're just looking for desire. What matters is you want to be there. If you want to participate, but you think you need a little bit of experience or something to warm yourself up, they're also doing a separate but related workshop called How to Fall, a free 3-day performance workshop for young artists presented by Toronto artist Aaron Brubaker, who is one of the co-directors of Concord Floral. And once again, experience welcome but not required, and you just need to be there. So that's happening September 9th, 10th, and 11th at the Shadbolt Theater in or Shadbolt Center in Burnaby, and then the audition for the performance for the Push Festival is happening on the 12th of September. So if you want more information, you can check out online registration, which is on the Shadbolt Center for the Performing Arts website. Monday night, it's the Cold Reading Series back at the Backstage Lounge on Granville Island. Casting starts at 6:30. Show starts at 8 o'clock. They ask a suggested donation of $5 to help cover expenses. Now, Cold Reading Series is a thing that's been going on for about 20 or 25 years or something, and it's a great experience. As an actor, you go up, you put your name down on the list, and hopefully you'll get cast, and you get handed a script, and you have just enough time to highlight your lines with the highlighter, and then you get called up on stage, and you're asked to read it without any real rehearsal or anything. It's what it is. It's a cold read. It's an opportunity for writers to get to hear their works being read out loud and give them some thoughts and notes and ideas and that. And it's just great fun. There's a lot of really, really good actors involved and good writers and directors and producers. A good chance to meet people and do some networking as well. So the next one is Monday night, August 8th. As I said, casting at 6:30, show starts at 8 o'clock at the Backstage Lounge on Granville Island. And just make a note, the Short Play Challenge, which is part of the Cold Reading Series, is still going on. You can find out more information about that at the Cold Reading Series website. Seven Tyrants Theatre is producing a show called Top Dog Underdog by Susan Laurie Parks. This is a darkly comic fable of brotherly love and family identity, telling the story of Lincoln and Booth, two brothers whose names were given to them as a joke for telling a lifetime of sibling rivalry and resentment. And this play is going to be happening in November. The auditions are on that was yesterday. Okay, move on. Sorry, I didn't edit that one out. This one is happening next week, though, August 14th, United Players production of Ghosts by Henrik Ibsen, directed by Michael Farah, very good friend of the show. That's going to be at the Jericho Arts Center in November. The audition is next week, Sunday, August 14th, at the Jericho Hill Center, which is right next to the Point Grey Academy. And if you want to get involved in that audition, you call Andre at 604-224-8007. She does not take submissions by email. Metro Theater Christmas Panto, Robin Hood and Marion, that's happening at Christmas time, and the auditions are at the end of August. And the other panto we're talking about is Alice in Wonderland at White Rock, and that audition is next week, August 14th and 15th. Looking for lots of people from ages 8 to 90, as well as crew, tech, follow, spot operators, sewers. I think that means sewers. Props, people, and anyone who wants to be involved. This is a community theater production. Vancouver Film School has a thing called VFS Sketch Company, and they do live sketch comedy shows produced three times a year. And the sketches are written by the students of the Vancouver Film School Writing for Film and Television Program, and the performances are done live. The next audition is Monday night, and that's at 198 West Hastings, which is Hastings and Canby, right next to Victory Square, the old province building, for those of you who have a knowledge of Vancouver history. If you want to know more about that, you can email them at vfssketch, sketch, at gmail.com. North Van Players doing Mystery of Irma Vep by Charles Ludlam. Miles Lovklitch is our friend of the show and director. And that's going to be happening in North Van in October. The auditions are this weekend, August 7th and 8th. Looking for two actors to play all the roles in this quick change marathon, Mystery of Irma Vep. It's a crazy play and lots of fun to be involved in. It's a definitive spoof of gothic melodramas, recently revived off-Broadway. Let's see. We have a sympathetic werewolf, a vampire, and an Egyptian princess brought to life when her tomb is open. Make this a comedy that has everything. Continuing on to the similar genre, Frankenstein by Fred Carmichael is happening in White Rock in September. And that is going to be, let's see, auditions August 8th and 9th at the Coast Capital Playhouse in White Rock, looking for 10 men and 7 women, ages 18 to 65. Moving Mirror Productions presents Villains and Heroes Musical Review. That's going to be a one-night-only show on September 17th. They're looking for video submissions, which they will accept up until August 10th. It's a musical review and fundraiser for Moving Mirror Productions. That's an event that will be followed by a cocktail reception and silent auction. So if you're a singer, dancer, actor, any kind of performer, you want to be part of the review, contact them, movingmirrorproductions@gmail.com. Theater West Van presents Arsenic and Old Lace. That's happening in October and November at the K. Meek Theater in West Van. Auditions are on August 14th and 15th. And that's requiring 10 men and 3 women, especially a couple of sweet old biddies, Arsenic and Old Lace. Jane Austen, Sense and Sensibility, directed by Joan Bryans, happening in November. Auditions are in 2 weeks on the 21st of August at Metro Theater. They do require English accents for that. And the final notice today is Spring Awakening, produced by Phantom Moon Collective, directed by Chris Lamb, another friend of the show. And that's happening in March of next year. It's only a 4-performance limited run, but it's a great show and really worth getting yourself involved with. The auditions are on August 27th. They will ask you to submit in advance by August 19th. And a special note, these are the same people that produced Dogfight last year. And in the same tradition as they did last year, they're going to double up some of the roles, so that you'll have alternates playing the parts on some nights and then back in the ensemble on alternate nights. So that's Phantom Moon Collective, Spring Awakening. If you want details on this or other audition notices, you can find them at the VancouverActorsGuide.com website or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. Oh, wait, let's start with this from the beginning.
Well, I don't care if the sun don't shine, I get my love in the evening time when I'm with my baby. Ain't no fun with the sun around, I get gone when the sun goes down when I'm with my baby. Well, that's when we're gonna kiss and a kiss and a kiss and a kiss and a, we're gonna kiss some more. Who cares how many times we kiss? Is there a time like this? Who keeps score? Well, I don't care if the sun don't shine, I get my loving in the evening time when I'm with my baby. It don't matter if it's sleet or snow, the driving's cozy when the lights are low when I'm with my baby. Makes no difference if the rain comes down, I don't know when she's around. Oh boy, what a
baby. Well, as a whim, I'm gonna kiss Santa, kiss Santa, kiss Santa, kiss Santa. We're gonna kiss some more. Well, one kiss from my baby doll makes me holler more, 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 more. Well, I don't care if the sun don't shine. I get my loving in the evening time when I'm with my baby. Some more. Well, one kiss from my baby doll makes me holler more, 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 more. Well, I don't care if the sun don't shine. I get my loving in the evening time when I'm with my baby. When I'm with my baby. When I'm with my baby.
And just like that, that's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. This week's shout out goes to friends of the show, Heather Main, Louise McNeil, Colette Wickstrom, and the late, great Norm Wickstrom, all who have birthdays tomorrow. And remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Send your details to us at DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com, and please like us on Facebook. And I said I was going to do another shameless plug, and I forgot all about it, but I'm going to do it now. Don't forget to check out Ensemble Theater Company's Romans in Britain, The Country Wife, and Betrayal, running in repertory at the Jericho Arts Center from now until August the 20th. If you missed any or all of today's show or just want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. Stick around. The award-winning Eleanor is up next with a pre-recorded production of Femme Concept. And then Nardwuar will wander in at 3:30 with Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Presents. Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. Bye-bye.